Hello and welcome to Marycast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. Today, my friends, I'm just going to give you a strong pitch for either marrying consecration or renewing your marrying consecration. Now, before the heart of the pitch, let's talk about what we're talking about. What's the nature of marrying consecration? Marrying consecration is a gift of self and a promise of love whereby you and I would give ourselves entirely to Our Lady in order to be entirely committed to Jesus Christ and our baptismal promises to Him. Consecration, in my mind, is an absolutely no-lose situation. It's a win-win. You're consecrating yourselves entirely to Our Lady so that she is free to fully intercede as the mediatrix of all graces for the maximum graces that you, your family, your vocation, even the effects of your community need. It's an all-gain situation when you give yourselves to our Blessed Mother in a powerful and an unconditional way. Now, the history of Marian consecration starts back in the 4th and 5th centuries, where people would call themselves slaves of Mary, Servus Mariae. There's many African sermons in the 4th and 5th century that call people to refer to themselves as the slave of Mary. You have popes, for example, Pope John in the 8th century, who makes reference to himself as the slave of the Mother of God. And you have great theologians. St. John Damascene writes a prayer of Marian consecration in the 8th century in the East. St. Ildefonsus of Toledo writes a consecration of a soul giving themselves to Mary as the handmaid to the handmaid of the Lord. This is in the 7th century. Some people think this stuff is from the medieval ages. That's just historically inaccurate. This stuff is right in the first millennium. Now, why and where does this come from, this idea of saying I'm a slave of Mary? Well, Jesus becomes a slave for us in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, the canticle of kenosis, being born in the likeness of a slave for us, did not hesitate to be a slave, did not hesitate to have a full service in terms of God becoming man. And also St. Paul opens many of his letters, I, Paul, slave of Jesus Christ. Well, the concept was in the early church, what about being a slave to the slave or a handmaid to the handmaid of the Lord? So there was the natural idea of serving Mary, serving the mother of Jesus. This idea of competition between Jesus and Mary, that's newer stuff. In the early church, it was all organic. You loved Jesus, you loved His mom. Where's the confusion? You served Jesus, you served His mother. She's the mediatrix and was called as such as early as the 4th century. And so there was no competition, two-room theory, Jesus one room, Mary in the other room. No, it was one. It was Jesus and Mary, the Son and the Mother together. And as we would come to know with a greater clarity, the Redeemer, the co-redemptrix. There's an Anglican theologian, Dr. Judith Gentle. I love when she says, my personal Savior is Jesus Christ. My personal co-redemptrix is Mary. That's right, because the new Adam and the new Eve work together. So when we give ourselves to the Mother of Jesus, we're giving ourselves to the mediatrix of all graces. And that's where and why the champion of Marian consecration, St. Louis Maria de Montfort, has as his foundation for this act. It's an act of devotion. When you give yourselves to Our Lady, you do so because she has the spiritual capacity to receive you. That's her role as the mediatrix of all graces. When Jesus says, behold your mother on Calvary, John 19, 25 through 27, she is our spiritual mother in the order of grace, as the Second Vatican Council teaches us. That means she has the capacity to receive us spiritually as her children. And that's unique to the mother. Only Mary can receive us as spiritual children in light of her spiritual relationship as mother, as ordained and as brought forward by Jesus himself as the final gift he gives to humanity before it is finished, John 19, 27. So, why do we do it? Why should we do it? Why do the popes encourage us to do it? Why is there a long line of historical acts of Marian consecration since the 8th century in terms of a formal giving ourselves to our Blessed Mother? The reason is because when we say yes, when we say, yes, I will give myself to you, Mother, you're freeing her. You're freeing her by your consent to allow her to use your her full consecration, her full mediation, her full ability of bringing graces to you. It's really very simple. Without your yes to Our Lady, she has to respect your freedom. She's not going to force grace upon you. When you give Mary your yes through a Marian consecration, you're saying, yes, Mother, I want the full exercise of your intercessory powers for me and for my sanctity, and I want you specifically to give me the graces to be true to my baptismal promises to Jesus Christ. Once again, where's the loss? Where's the danger? This is all good. This is a yes, yes situation. So there's many forms in which you can consecrate yourself to our Blessed Mother. There's the classic form of St. Louis Marino Montfort, who's the champion, the historical champion of Marian consecration. He actually has a 33-day process of preparing, which you can find in True Devotion to Mary, or there's a booklet that all Catholic bookstores will have or can order on the 33-day of preparation to make a consecration. And there's specified dates, one of which is the Feast of St. Louis himself, on April 28th, but there's a series of other feast days where you can start it and follow the 33-day process. St. Maximilian Kolbe has a powerful and beautiful form of Marian consecration where you consecrate yourself as the property of Our Lady, where St. Louis Marie would emphasize slavery. Ultimately, my friends, if you do not have a mode of preparation in terms of one of these structured forms, you can do it. You can consecrate yourselves. Now, when you consecrate yourselves, you're giving yourself as a gift. So you want it to be serious. You want it to be meaningful. You want to have a spiritual preparation yourself of what this means. But ultimately, it means, Mary, Mother of God and my Mother, I give myself to you. And as St. Louis Marie would say, I give you my body, my soul, all that I am, all my merits, the fruit of all my good works, past, present, and future. And I give these to you, Mother, to dispose of as you desire. Any of my merits, any of the good things I've done, any of my sacrifices, use them for souls. You know so much better than I how they can serve the mystical body. Of course, we can dedicate them for a particular intention as well, but it's always conditional upon the mediatrix of all graces. That's not a difficulty, that's a peace. Our Lady knows 7 billion people in need of grace, and your merits can help them, including those dying on this day. My friends, please, in this time of family battle and personal difficulties, world crisis, even attacks on the church, please, I ask you, I beg you, consecrate yourselves to the Blessed Mother. Consecrate your families, your kids, your marriages. If you're a priest, consecrate your parish. If you're a bishop, consecrate your diocese. John Paul II consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on March 25th, 1984. He did again in the year 2000. Pope Benedict with the consecration of the church on May 13th of 2010, consecrating when he went on his visit to Fatima. Consecration is a powerful thing. We need the protection now. And we're going to need it more, I believe, in the future. Please do it, whether it be formal or just from the heart. Give yourself, your family, your vocation, whatever is in your possession, give it to the Mother. Let her lead you to lead your baptismal promise to Jesus Christ. Let her guide you to sanctity. You will never, ever regret consecrating yourself to our Mother. This is Mark Mirvai with MaryCast. God bless.